Order, please. The opening prayer. Commissioner Riley, would you lead us in our opening prayer this morning?
I'd be glad to. Would y'all please stand and join me in prayer? Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for the many blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. We are thankful that we live in a country where we can gather and conduct business safe and great manner. Lord, we ask that you protect our men and women overseas and here at home that protect us, give us that right to do exactly what we're doing today. Lord, we ask that you watch over this meeting. May everything that we do and all the decisions we make be pleasing to you. We ask these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, if you would join me in the pledge to our United States of Texas flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Thinking about court and said the word.
Okay. Let the record reflect that all members of court are present today. And commissioners, we need a motion to approve our commissioners' court agenda for this morning.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Okay. Commissioners, we need a motion to approve our minutes from our regular session dated April 12, 2016.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Commissioners, item 8 on the consent agenda, I have one item that I'd like to move forward to the open agenda. That's on page 8. That's item 8I2 on page 8. And if there are no other changes to consent, I would entertain a motion to approve our consent agenda.
Second.
Any other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Item 8. I-2 on page 8, consider and approve a resolution in order adopting Montgomery County's Code of Ethics for Department Heads and Elected Officials. I think Larry Forrester was going to be here today to read that, but was unable to be here. Amy, do you want to touch on that one a little bit?
Sure, Judge. What we put before you is the Montgomery County Code of Ethics for Department Heads and Elected Officials. We actually pulled and based this on the International City and County Management Association, and it has 13 tenets of which elected officials and department heads would conduct business by.
Okay. And Mr. Forrester did review all that as
and Larry
an outside
Forrester,
review.
Yeah, he was actually in court this morning, and he said that he's reviewed the Code of Ethics and discussed it, and he endorses the document and supports its passage by Commissioner's Court.
Great. Thank you. I would entertain a motion, Commissioners.
I move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. All right. That takes us to our open agenda. Brings us to our citizens' comment. And for the first citizens' comment segment will be for those who have comments about items that are on today's agenda. So if there's anyone that has an item or wants to discuss or make comment about an item that is on today's agenda, let me just read this brief comment. We will now invite public for comments on items on today's open agenda. Please state your name and the topic of your comment before beginning your remarks. Public comment may not exceed, and we may reduce that to 1 minute. We have a large number of people signed up today on a topic that we've discussed quite a bit. I tell you what, actually, Amy, can we move this item forward, the towing item?
Sure.
On the agenda?
Sure. It's item 22A on the agenda.
Why don't we do that, Commissioners? If you would, let's move item 22A.
For public comment.
We'll have our discussion and then allow a public comment and then we'll take our action. Because I know there's a lot of guys that are trying to get back out on the road here.
Okay.
That's going to be on page 12. Item 22A.
Right. On item 22A, we're asking the court to consider, discuss, and take appropriate action regarding the adoption of the Montgomery County Towing Rules and Regulations for Non-Consent Towing and Storage Services. This implements a towing rotation process. And I've got Sarah from my office here and Lieutenant Eves, and they'd like to talk to you. Last time we were in court, we had several concerns raised. I believe there were a meeting. A letter was sent to our office. I believe it was sent also to you, the county judge's office. raising some of the concerns we heard about and some additional concerns. And so we wanted to tell you how we've tried to address those concerns and brought you another draft with extended deadlines and kind of talk about that this morning.
Okay.
Okay. Sure. Good morning, Judge and Commissioners. We do have some changes that I'd like to highlight, the significant changes. We have pushed the deadlines back. We're proposing making applications available no later than December 1st, 2016. The Sheriff's Office would accept the applications until January 15th and require inspections by January 27th. We are talking about 2017. The rotation list will be posted on January 31st and sent out. The rules would go into effect February 1st, 2017. That's going to allow both the Sheriff's Office to gather their resources and allow sufficient notice to the community and to the towing companies and the individuals involved in the industry get together anything they need to change and to be aware of the rules. The process regarding the dates would be repeated annually for registration, inspection, and publishing of the list. So it would be every list, December, January, February of every year, just like it's been in previous years. We did skip last year because we were anticipating moving to some type of rotation. So there was no inspection last year. We have changed the proposed rules. We've increased the response time from 20 to 30 minutes. We have changed the zoning for the vehicle storage facilities. There will be in Montgomery County for private property tows, so that people, last time we had commenting about, they were concerned they had contracts with different apartment complex and people across the county, and they didn't want to put a storage lot in each particular zone where that apartment complex was. So we've changed it to Montgomery County, so they can still keep those contracts and still tow to their lots in Montgomery County. But as far as law enforcement zones, it will still be towing to that lot in that zone when it's a law enforcement incident management tow. Regarding when the tow truck operators don't answer the call, they can't respond, or what happens if they don't get there in time, we've clarified that language somewhat. The original intent was and remains communication oriented, for obvious reasons about efficiency and effectiveness. So the rule basically is, if you answer the phone from dispatch and you say, "I cannot make it today," your slot doesn't get penalized. If you don't answer the phone, that happens excessively, or you violate the other rules, you know, then that's when the sanctions start to kick in as far as excessively not responding to dispatch. And that will be at the discretion of the Sheriff's Office. But it's not their intent to punish somebody for just one time they didn't answer a phone call, obviously, because situations happen. As far as when they are sanctioned for violations, the review process would still apply, and there is an administrative process in the rules. There was also concerns about large spills on I-45. The rules have not applied to large cargo spills. If an 18-wheeler dumps a load of, you know, Cokes all over the road, that cleanup is going to be between the owner of the company that spilled and the tow truck drivers that come to clean it up, or whatever kind of cleaning up is necessary. As far as a basic traffic accident and the cleanup that happens there, that does fall in the rules. That will be continued to clean up as required under the current rules. And there is a provision, there always has been a provision, where the deputy on scene can call for backup. The deputy and the tow truck drivers can discuss, or if the deputy sees it's a larger spill, but it's not a cargo spill maybe, then he can always call for backup. We've also changed, there was a concern last time about people breaking into vehicles for towing. That sentence and that category is not in there anymore. That is at the state law. Also, there was a concern about the rules allowing for solicitation of vehicle owners, or that tow truck drivers would no longer be allowed to help individuals that were hurt. The rules have not changed in that regard. The rules have always been you're not allowed to go and solicit someone who's injured from a car accident. You know, if you go up there and say, and you want to help them and you should help them, that's great, but you can't say, "And I'd like to tow your vehicle." You are either a first responder or you are a tow truck driver. So it's still, for reasons relating to protection of the public, those rules haven't changed regarding solicitation. We have not changed the rotation slots, but I do want to clarify for the court, the number of rotation slots assigned for the towing vehicles are assigned per zone. It's not that you have, you know, 50 trucks in Montgomery County, and so you can have more slots. It is how many trucks are signed up for that zone. So they have to be per zone analysis there. And the number only increase is for every 10 trucks. It's not for every truck you get one other one right now the way it's drafted. It's for 1 through 10, you would get one slot, 11 through 20, two slots, 21 to 30, three slots. So every time it goes up, 3, 4, 5, never more than six in a zone. But if you have six slots in a zone, then you're running 51 to 60 or more trucks. So basically, you have to have, you know, if you have 21 trucks, you get three slots. You're still not getting 20 slots. So it's not exponentially unfair in that manner. And it is fair as far as any company can sign up for these rules, and as long as they're in compliance, any company can run 20, 30, 40, 50 trucks at their choice and their discretion. You know, this is a Montgomery County rotation voluntary policy. It only applies to non-consent. It does not apply to consent towing. People can still, in the community, you know, your car runs out of gas, you want to have it towed or whatever, you can still choose who you want. This is only the non-consent tows.
Do we have any questions?
Any questions, commissioners?
Why will it take us 10 months to fully implement this policy change? It just seems like a long time, in my opinion.
Yeah. So part of it is because we've always done the February is when the permits expired. So the last permits would have expired at the end of January last year, and we held off because we believed we would be able to get it done sooner rather than later. But we decided it was best for the community to negotiate some of the terms and the policies. So now we're into May, essentially, and we feel like it's only fair to give the community and the owners some time to be aware of the policies and the rotation that's coming, and also for the sheriff's office to get the forms together and any technology or resources they need to implement this process and their inspections.
It also allows us to address it during budget this year, any additional personnel or technology needed to adequately reflect the intent of these rules and make sure that we go through more smoothly without a lot of hiccups because we don't have the personnel or the technology in place. So,
I got a couple of questions. Who can place sanctions on a wrecker service?
Any tow owner or individual, you know, they can file a complaint and it starts the complaint process and it goes through kind of an expedited administrative process where that goes through the tow truck inspector, they make a decision. If you don't like the tow truck inspector's decision, it goes to the chief deputy. And there's rules about how that goes in the time frame, but you can present evidence or present documents to support, you know, the situation.
Kind of like an appeals process in kind of, somewhere?
Yes.
But isn't it kind of like it's always been?
Yeah, it is.
It's actually shortened. It's shortened from previous.
Can a truck be registered in more than one zone?
I'm sorry?
Can a truck be registered in more than one zone?
Yes, you can register one truck in two zones as long as they're contiguous at some point.
And they have storage rights in both zones.
Right.
Well, the storage rights are countywide now, right?
Only for private property or heavy duty. If you're towing law enforcement, you'd have to have a lot in that zone to be registered in that zone.
Is that not an unfair burden on the tow truck drivers?
It's not an unfair burden because the zones are large, and because we're talking about the difference between having a lot in that zone and the burden on the community to go retrieve their vehicles.
So wouldn't it be easier for the property owner to, I see that it's easier for the property owner if they're restricted to a particular zone, but it's one county. I'm interested to hear what the tow truck drivers feel about that.
Okay.
And the other question is, on that note, say I'm in Willis, I have a wreck, the wrecker from that zone is there, and I'm like, you know, of course, I guess if I'm incapacitated, I can't say, but if I could say, look, I live in Grangerland, can you tow it to this body shop? What's the scenario there?
You can still have a preference and by agreement have them tow outside the zone. This is just non-consent where you're not agreeing where it goes. So as long as you're not in custody and you have the mental capacity to understand what's going on, then that would be different.
Okay. I'd like to hear from...
Yeah, any other questions or comments, Commissioner Sarah? Thank you. And I asked Sarah to make those comments before we allowed public comment. Hopefully that some of your questions were answered with her comments, but now we'll open it for public comment. for those individuals that would like to address this particular issue.
Take the one signed up first?
Yeah, we're going to take those that are signed up first. If you would restrict your comments to 1 minute if you could, because there's a lot of people signed up to speak on this, and then we may direct you to talk to Sarah or to, I guess, maybe the chief or somebody in the sheriff's department with other concerns there. But the first person we have signed up to speak is Mr. Joe Kearns.
Joe Kearns, South County Berkeley, Quick Tow Record Service. I support my sheriff in obtaining the tools necessary for getting the job done. I know this court does as well, but we shouldn't be blind in our support. We owe it to the sheriff, the citizenry, and ourselves to be thorough in making decisions that will affect all of us. This decision will have a profound effect on the traffic in many instances every day. I believe these rotations rules will have an obvious economic impact on the community, the industry, and the department. Most often when removing a suspect from a vehicle or working an accident, there's a second unit sent to a law enforcement scene. What does the deputy in a marked unit cost the county per hour? How many hours are going to be spent annually waiting on a rotation record? How many non-consent tows from a law enforcement scene occur annually? Where's the actual public outcry that we are addressing? Is there any data to show harm to consumers or the public from our current system? I've attached a page, I'm going to give you the court a copy, from Conroe, Huntsville, and Grimes County rotation rules. They specifically set out one spot per company, regardless of the number of trucks the company owns. Deregulation cleanup in 1995 allowed for political subdivisions to regulate non-consent towing to protect the public from unfair business practices that occur, consumer protection. I just don't understand how awarding any one company more than another is going to protect the citizens of Montgomery County. Appreciate your time.
Kearns, thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Next person to sign up is Dalton Knox.
How y'all doing today? First, I just want to thank you for y'all's time of being able to hear me and state what I think. Before you make a decision today, I hope that you take in consideration the little bit I have to say. That's not much. My name's Dalton Knox. I'm only 21 years old, but I've been in this for my whole life. My grandpa owned Tullis Record Service in New Caney till he couldn't go no more. My dad now owns EMC Towing here in New Caney. We don't feel that it's fair for one company to get multiple spots over another one just because of the trucks they have. It's going to put a lot of the businesses, local businesses, under a lot of stress, and it's going to probably put multiple of them out of business because they won't be able to have the same income that they have now, missing out on all that. I mean, it's just, I don't know how to say it. We just, there's a bunch of small businesses in East Montgomery County for sure, and I'm sure all over Montgomery County, that give back tremendous amount to this county, whether it be in the fair, whether it be in organizations, fundraisers, whatever. And for what they give back, I don't think it's fair that you just knock them down because one company has more than they do. I mean, it's just how we feel, and it's completely up to y'all, and I just hope y'all take that into consideration whenever y'all make y'all's decision. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Dale Harris.
Dale Harris with Dale Harris Record. I think I represent a lot of the people of the Montgomery County Record Group. The concerns about the amount of trucks, which almost everybody here will address and everything, I do have the same concern. What's fair for one is fair for all. I don't care how many trucks you go out there and buy up or anything like that. The more rotation spots that you have, the less it makes for the single man that has one or two trucks. It's unfair. Another thing is the evidentiary crime scenes. A contract tow truck for the following, for towing services. Who's the contract wrecker? How's the contract awarded? And when is the contract presented? Out of all of the wrecker companies in Montgomery County, that the Sheriff's Department has a list of these towing companies, nobody has ever contacted me about a towing contract. How's this awarded? And from what I understand, towing contracts are supposed to be put up for bid and then looked at the bid, and granted that you're going to pick somebody this capable of handling the contract, but where are these contracts? I've never seen one. I would like to know in case I want to put in a bid for the contract. Another thing is the failure to answer or a call or will forfeit a turn. How do we know? I mean, I might be on my phone talking to somebody else, like the city of Conroe rotation. I might be talking to them or something about a call, and then the county calls me for a rotation. I don't answer my phone, so I forfeit. How do I know that they even called? Did they leave a message? Did they give me a chance to respond or anything like that? No. If they make that call, I don't answer. I forfeit the call. The city of Conroe, if they call you, they leave a message. You have 5 minutes to respond. If that 5 minutes eats into my time of an ETA, that's my problem, not theirs. But at least I have 5 minutes to respond. Why can't the county put in here that you have 2 minutes to respond or anything just to let us know that they called? Okay, just a missed call on my phone is nothing. What if the county's calling me about something else and it's not rotation? I don't have a clue about that. So I think that something needs to happen right there as far as forfeiture on a call if I miss the call. I should be warned at least a minute or two or have a chance to make that call back and let them know if I could be en route or not.
What percentage of your business is non-consent towing?
I'm sorry?
What percentage of your business is non-consent towing?
Almost all of my business is non-consent towing. I would say at least 80% or more.
Is that?
City of Conroe rotation.
People in the room?
DPS, the county, the constables, and City of Conroe. 90% of my business is non-consent towing. That's what takes care of a majority of the wrecker owners in here. Between the private properties and the law enforcement, that's how I live. And, I've done the chip thing forever. Another thing on the situation is there's nothing in here for a backup system. So what happens if this fails? Nothing in here for a backup system.
Mr. Harris, your time limit is exceeded.
Okay, thank you, sir. Another thing, I notified all of y'all, certified mail in response to the letters. Nobody has called me yet about anything, about meeting with any of the commissioners or the county or anything.
Thank you.
Thank you for your
time.
Appreciate
it. Yeah, these are public comments.
We can.
Public comments.
Attended.
Okay. David Knox.
How are y'all today? I'm David Knox with Saddle Creek Towing. I agree on the rotation. I do. We do need something. Y'all going to go to it one way or another. I know it's repeat. That's the one thing that I was here. The main thing is several trucks on rotation. It's already been addressed. I do believe that there needs to be a charge for if you skip so many. It's not fair. I know there's certain people that have a way in that will tow the good, not the bad. So I believe that they should all, we all should be able to tow the bad with the good. The contract, the zone thing that y'all have, that they have, the zones, one truck per zone. If you have a lot, I agree on that, but on the map, I don't know if it's done on purpose, but zone two connects with every zone. So it connects with 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It connects, but zone three don't connect to zone, certain other zones. That zone connects with every zone. So I don't know if that was done on purpose or what. We need to see if we can look into that. I appreciate it. Can I approach?
Sure, absolutely.
I appreciate y'all's time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Knox. Now we have Heather Schoenhofer.
Hi, Heather Schoenhofer with Texan Towing. And again, I think all of us are here in regards to multiple spots being given because you have more trucks than somebody else. I just don't see where the fairness is in it. I don't see where you would ever need 10 trucks on one scene ever, or why it would benefit any of us to have to go out and try to buy 8 or 9 more trucks in order to get another spot. My other problem is that if we're doing business in Montgomery County, I feel like your truck should have to be registered in Montgomery County. As these new rules state that they don't, you don't have to have your trucks registered in this county. You just have to show current registration from the county that it's registered in. So if, you know, if you're doing business here and you're making money in our county, register your trucks in our county. Other than that, I think, again, all of our problems are multiple spots, that somebody could get up to 6 spots in 2 zones. That's up to 12 rotations per day per one company. And we just want it to be fair all the way around for everybody. Thank you very much for your time.
Oliver, thank you. Clint Bass.
My name is Clint Bass. I'm the owner of Bass Towing and Recovery. I'm not going to beat a dead horse on the slots and all that stuff. 2 years ago, I bought a wrecker to start a wrecker company. For 2 years, I've been driving a wrecker daily, completely non-consent tow. 100% of my business is solely based on non-consent tow. My issue mainly with rotation is I'm being forced to be in another business that I do not want to be in, which is the storage business. The rules now that are trying to be put in place, it says that I have to have a storage facility that is mine. I don't want to be in the storage business. I bought a tow truck. I didn't buy a storage lot. So,
and
I mean,
right now when you have a non-consent tow, you're free to take that.
You store it with the approved storage lot that you've been approved for. The storage lot gives you a letter. You turn it into the county. They know where your vehicles are going. So right now, you know, I pay taxes on my tow truck, and I pay taxes in Montgomery County. I own a house here, so I should be able to do business here and not be forced into a business that I do not want to be a part of.
How many storage lots do you use right now?
I use one in Zone 4 and one in Zone 2.
Sir, can they contract with people that own storage lots?
You can lease or own, but you still have to be in that business.
Sir, can we not just eliminate the storage requirement? And this is only applies to an individual who is going to jail or has had an accident and they're incapacitated. So it's a non-consent tow. I'm assuming a majority of those are going to be folks probably going to jail. And if they have to drive a little further to get their car, I'm okay with that.
There's
But again, you're breaking the law. You're parking where you're not supposed to be.
At this point, there's 10 or more tow truck companies that will be out of business because they can't afford to buy land or lease property.
Well, they got to take those cars. Where are they taking them now?
They're taking them to storage lots that they're...
You're not paying a lease to take this...
No, sir. The storage lot gives you approval to use their facility. You don't... And right now, the current rules, you do not have to own or lease a storage lot. You just have to have the ability to store a vehicle in a storage lot that's approved by the county.
Well, I don't have a problem with that, as long as they could have some kind of a contractual agreement with those storage lots.
Lieutenant.
What are the problems we have with the companies now? they will contract with a storage lot to store the vehicles. But they get into disagreement with that storage lot and make a deal with somebody else. They don't notify us. And I've got a customer, owner of the vehicle, hunting for a vehicle. It's been moved. We're trying to eliminate that. Put them in a certain location. They own the lot. They take to their lot to store their lot. We know where to find the vehicle.
Does that happen a lot? Does it? Okay.
Then penalize the owner of the company instead of the whole industry.
If we penalize every company for that, 10 deputies working full-time right inside them.
Well, how's it? I mean, what are you going to do if they don't follow the rule once it's adopted? You're going to have to penalize them, right?
Yes, sir.
So we're in the same situation either way.
Let me ask you something. Talking about the slots, 10 trucks, 50 trucks, whatever. How many towing companies do we have that have over 30 trucks in a zone?
One.
Period? One?
One.
And they got 30 trucks in each zone?
They could have it in at least two.
They could have two slots.
They could have it in zone one and zone two right now at this moment.
All 30 trucks?
Yes, sir.
I mean, how many wrecker drivers have 30 trucks?
Milstead.
I mean, so period. We're not talking about a...
So we've got a company,
And why... So why would we not require the wreckers that participate in this program to be registered in Montgomery County? Why would that be a problem?
Because the biggest company, that one company, the majority of their trucks are out of Trinity County. Something that we really need to address.
Well, I guess how this came up, and it started, you know, our deal is we're trying to keep everything fair for everybody.
But that's not fair.
Okay, well, let me ask you something. If I put a sign out and said, free food for kids, come on down, and one family showed up with one kid, and I fed that kid, but one family showed up with five kids, and I says, sorry, we can only feed one child. And the way this came about, I mean, I don't know if you're thinking about the other end of it, and I'm the advocate for everybody, okay? But right now, you've got, say, 10, 15 wreckers. I mean, this is how this all started, is racing to the wreck. I know not all y'all guys do this, trying to increase public safety. But if you've got ABC Wrecker Service that's got 10 wreckers, and the five wreckers show up on the scene, you show up, he shows up, another guy shows up. Okay, now we've got eight wreckers there. Five against three. Y'all chip. If you follow this thing out, that's what we tried to do. We tried to shift the balance, so you're going to get more toes no matter what. Even if somebody's got two toes, they can't have five wreckers show up anymore to offset the odds.
To the county before. Say, let's limit the number of trucks per company per scene.
Amy, is what he's saying true? They can have 30 trucks in two zones?
They can have 30 trucks. They can register each truck.
Hold on, sir.
They can register each truck in up to two contiguous zones. That's the way they're currently drafted. No more than two.
So they're required
to have lots in both of those zones.
So they would have three cycles in each of those two zones.
They have 30 trucks, they have three slots. They'd have three slots in each of those two zone cycles, provided that they have 30 trucks registered in both zones and two lots.
I still think we got to look at this. I don't like that either.
I don't think it's fair to punish a company because they're a large company either. I mean, you have the option to buy more wreckers. It's not like
you
can't do it.
I
don't want to argue. I just want to say that I don't think it's fair to punish a large company adversely either. My recommendation would be that we move with requiring the wreckers to be registered in Montgomery County. We eliminate the storage lot requirement and we leave the rest the same.
Not a problem with the vehicle being registered in Montgomery County.
Hold on. This is not going to become a free-for-all here.
Yeah.
Just hold on.
Y'all sit down, please.
We will allow one person at a time to the microphone to make public comment, and you've had your time, sir.
But that would be my motion, and if I get a second, I do. If I don't,
okay.
That's fine.
All right, Mr. Bass, thank you for your comments. Appreciate that. Now, there's no one else that signed up to speak on this issue. Is there anyone else that would like to address court before we make a decision? Yes, sir.
My name is Russell Schoonover with Texan Towing. I'm in the towing industry. I'm not in to chasing wrecks. I'm in the towing industry, whether that be consent, non-consent, private property, and we've got guys voicing their opinion on why I don't want to be in the storage facility business. It's part of the towing industry. You're going to have to do that because the storage facility is responsible for the wrecker per TDLR. That's who governs us. If that wrecker service goes out, does an illegal tow and brings it to my storage lot, I am now responsible for that tow. Therefore, that wrecker service should have his own storage lot. He can be responsible for his own tows. The amount of spots, I've been in this county 20 years. I've never seen a need for 10 trucks on one scene, period, in one zone, ever. We just had a fatal out on 105, shut the freeway, shut 105 down for over 10 and a half hours. There was four trucks there, not 10. The flood, I mean, there's multiple spots for a reason. We all have tow trucks. If there's 10 rotation spots and there's 10 companies, there's your 10 trucks. There's no need for 10 trucks in one zone. You're overfilling. We're back to the same problem we're at now. You got so many trucks on each scene. It's uncalled for. It's unneeded. Thank you.
Any other comments? Yeah, go ahead, since you're already here. Yes, ma'am, you'll be next. Go ahead, sir. Go ahead, sir.
How you doing? My name is Dale Bell with A-Plus Towing. One thing wasn't addressed was this is not a true rotation. Even though we're going to maybe pass this bill, we're still going to have 10 trucks out here running wrecks, public safety, as they brought this up as. They're still going to be able to run up. Officers are going to be able to use their discretion to use wreckers on scene. Therefore, we're still running wrecks. Public safety ain't been addressed. The other thing is equal distribution. It should be fairly. City of Conroe don't do it. Have we did our study and said, what other county in the state of Texas allows Goliath to come in? It ain't 30 trucks get one spot. It's 31 gets four spots. That's my concern. Right now, it's not going to stop anybody from big companies of Goliath coming over here into our county and just putting a small mom-and-pop shop out. I'm out of business. If y'all pass this, we're out of business. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. Yes, ma'am.
On the other half of Bass Towing. I had a couple responses to things that you said. First, about not fair to penalize the big trucks. And you said the main thing that started all this was an abundance of trucks on each scene. So you still have their 40 trucks showing up to one scene the way it is right now. That's what got us here. The complaints about so many trucks being on one. So we're not punishing them. We're dealing with it, right? Fair. The law that gives you guys the ability to put rotation into place says you can start a rotation system as long as each company is benefited equally. If they have four trucks, every four call or four rotation slots, and we have one, it's not fair. My other concern, you talk about the showing up a family of five kids and having to skip whatever. This isn't show up and we'll give you free food. It's we're going to give your company an opportunity to show up for a job to earn free food. So that family of five, you're giving them five job applications. The next company, you're just giving them one. That's not fair either because we still have to feed our families.
Well, I'll just let you know when it started. When it started, and you can believe a climb from every wrecker gets a tow. If you own a wrecker, every wrecker gets a tow. That was what was considered fair.
Well, I understand that.
Listen, let me finish. And I fought till we got to 10, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we're at 10. I ran the numbers and ran the numbers and ran the numbers. I don't see any way that any towing company could ever come out ahead continuing to gamble for tows with the amount of wreckers that show up on the scene. To me, I'd want to know. In taking into consideration, that big company has 10 wreckers,
mm-hmm.
They have 10 insurances, they have 10 notes, they have 10 maintenance.
Oh, no, I get it.
And I mean,
Oak Ridge and Shenandoah are running pretty successful operations where only one truck per company is allowed to show up. So your 10 company trucks ship, whichever one of you wins gets to go to that wreck. And then it's still fair for per company.
I can tell you, I pushed back far as I could get to where I felt like it was tilted in the small guy's favor.
Okay, then there's another way to stipulate that law, that specific part because it doesn't specify light-duty trucks, heavy-duty trucks. They've got a variety of all of them, and it just says trucks. So there's like, here's our personal trucks that are registered in our company name, here's our heavy-duty, here's our light-duty, here's everything else, right? Trucks. All of a sudden, you've got 50 trucks for your company. But, I mean, we, on a smaller scale, we have one truck bringing money in. We still have one insurance policy we have to pay. The way things sit right now, we have one storage lot we have to go by. You know, and then, I mean, someone said something about it being economically beneficial. We're not just talking little man in the towing business. We have a little girl who's in gymnastics. We go out of business, she stops gymnastics, the small little gymnastics place goes out, loses our business, you know, and all the other little kids around, you know. All the small, the guy who details our trucks doesn't gonna do that anymore, you know. It's a trickle down economically that way, too, when you're putting so many small businesses out of business. So,
like I say, we're trying to come to a page in this where it's fair for everybody.
Well, but right now, it's fair for all of them, but it's really great for one person. And that's not fair across the board.
We're kind of hearing the same thing.
We either have to
go ahead and pass this as it is, mm-hmm. or defer it one more time. I think we're down to what looks to me like two issues, the lot and the slots. That's pretty much.
Lieutenant, are you all comfortable with where everything is? Do you think there's any adjustment that needs to be made? Sarah, you're a lieutenant.
And Amy, is there an option if we're just not able to come to agreement on this? Can the county not just issue an RFP or an RFQ and put out to bid consent towing and just have one company in charge of it?
Of non-consent towing?
Yes.
The county could go out for bid and make this a contract.
And my suggestion is if we don't come to a conclusion on this today, that's the direction we move towards.
Oh, I think we can come to a conclusion.
I don't think we need to do that, but...
Okay.
I mean, we're still talking October before we establish or put this in effect.
Actually, it's later, Commissioner Mutter. We're looking at next February 1st before it would take effect.
I don't think two more weeks is going to hurt us.
I really would.
And I'd like to...
Sir, you've had your
I'd
say.
I'd like the county attorney's office, the chief, to see what we can work out on these. I mean, and maybe there's an answer, maybe there's not. If there's not an answer, and this is what we need to do, that's what we need to do. But if there's some way to maybe make this a little easier as far as actually owning a lot, and I know you have problems, you told me you did. If those could be worked around to where maybe they didn't have to buy property and have their own lot, where they could continue to lease with a lot.
They can do that now.
They can lease but with the
hold
term.
On, Commissioner Mutter, I think
the
only issue, though, I mean, Commissioner Clark's gone through the process. He believes that the towing rotation, as it's proposed, is fair, 10 spot, you know, correct? So why would we?
I don't think he's all that sure about it.
Nope.
I mean,
you said you did the research.
I don't know. I've run the math 100 times, and I just don't see.
I think we defer it one more time.
Is that a motion?
I mean,
Commissioner?
That's a motion.
If you're going to show up with 10.
All right, we have a motion here, Commissioners, to defer this item till the next Commissioner's Court.
I agree.
Opposed.
Motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Aye. Commissioner Noack.
Thank you all for coming.
We're going to defer it this time. And Sarah, we would ask that you guys get back together and see if there's any further adjustment that can be made. If there's not, bring back this recommendation to court.
Okay, and I don't know if these guys know that. Didn't seem to be.
Well, y'all work that out over the next couple of weeks and bring this back to the court for the next agenda. Great, thank you. Okay, now are there anybody else that would like to address any other issue that's on today's court agenda? All right, seeing none, we'll move forward. Item 10A, the resolution approving the issuance of bonds by Harris County Cultural Education Facilities Finance Corporation to finance and refinance certain projects for Memorial Hermann Health Systems. We have a motion, Commissioners.
I don't really understand what this is.
I think it's a reporting issue. Is this just a reporting issue, Amy? Amy, is this just one of those issues they have to report? We have to acknowledge?
Right, we start acknowledging and accepting.
Yeah.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? Doesn't obligate the county to anything.
It does not obligate the county.
Yeah. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. B, consider and discuss recommendations of the truancy committee formed December 2015. Who's addressing that one?
Brian.
Morning, Judge, Commissioners.
Morning, Brian.
I'm here to represent Judge Metz, who unfortunately had a large docket this morning that he needed to attend to. He appreciates the attention that the court gives to the truancy issue. It is a major issue confronting our communities today. It's been an issue of Judge Metz's since he started in office. He takes it very seriously. Having a committee in place countywide to develop some uniform policies and administrative procedures and memorialize that would be essential. We had a preliminary meeting of some suggested committee members last week. The judge would like to add some more educators to that committee and have the ability, as time went by, to perhaps add some educators as we go along.
Okay.
I have developed a mission statement for the committee as well. So we're off and running.
So is your request today to add additional spots to the committee?
I actually believe there's such a requirement that you need to appoint a committee. Okay. I don't know that committee has actually been appointed at this point.
It has been appointed at this point, and
okay.
So those can be done not with court approval, just by providing those names to the county judge's office, and he can invite those to the next truancy meeting.
If you could get me a list of people you'd like to see out of the educational world, that would be great.
Right. Very good.
There's no action required on this. They're just giving you updates that we are complying with the statutory mandate for a truancy committee.
Good.
Thank you,
Brian. Appreciate
you, Brian.
It. Tell the judge, thank you very much. Please. All right. Item C, consider and take appropriate action, if any, regarding the recent severe weather and flooding disaster and the use of resources necessary related to the same. Do you have that resolution?
I do have a resolution for you.
Would you just read that, please?
Sure. Whereas Montgomery County has recently suffered widespread damage resulting from severe weather beginning on the 18th of April, and whereas County Judge Craig Doyle declared a local state of disaster on the same date, and whereas the Montgomery County Commissioner's Court extended the disaster order on April 25th for an additional 30 days due to the severity of the event, and whereas County Judge Craig Doyle also closed all county facilities for Monday, April 18th, 2016 to certain personnel and authorized the use of Code 32 on timesheets for those employees not reporting to work on that day, and whereas County Judge Craig Doyle authorized the use of Code 32 by all employees reporting to work on the 18th of April for the amount of time worked that day to be taken as paid leave by July 18th, 2016, with the consent of the applicable elected official, if any, now therefore on the 26th day of April at a regular session and meeting of the Commissioner's Court, there came for consideration and approval a motion to ratify the decision to compensate those county employees who reported to work on April 18th with leave time. Basically, the purpose of this motion is to compensate our responders who came to work when all non-essential personnel were at home, with additional leave time to be taken in the next 90 days.
That would give the elected officials or department heads the ability to give those individuals that did come in a day off, just
right.
Like they're maybe the person sitting at the desk next to them did
on Monday the 18th.
I move.
Second. Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you, Amy. All right. County Clerk. There. Consider and approve carryover of $1,613.74 in fiscal year 15 funding from the County Clerk's Records Management Fund relating to blanket release number 489882 encumbered upon September 30th, 2015, and please post line item 40311-7390.
Judge, the clerk's office asked me to discuss this. They had a conference out of town and they couldn't make it.
Okay.
This is really just a timing issue. These are things that if it had occurred earlier in the year, the auditor's office would have taken care of as a matter of routine.
Just encumbered. Okay.
Thank you. Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. District Clerk.
morning, Judge. Commissioners. Good morning. Barbara would be here, but she's attending the same conference, I think, that the county clerk is at. We ask that you consider the request as listed below about the position in question.
I move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion Thank carries.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Urgency management. Darren?
Morning, Judge, Court.
Morning.
Two quick items on the agenda. 13A, consider and approve purchase by the Montgomery County Office of Emergency Management for food, beverages, and kitchen supplies to be used during EOC activation and trainings. This is something that we did back in 2008. It was approved at that point in time. But working with the auditor's office, they felt like we needed to update it and include the training aspect of it. So we're Move. Looking for permission to do that.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
13B is much along the same lines. Consider an approved purchase by the Montgomery County Office of Emergency Management for small appliances for use during EOC activation and trainings.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Darren, are we still receiving information from individuals on damage out there?
Yeah.
I would encourage
Yeah, by the minute. We are. Currently, we are well over 220 self-reported residences, which just leads us to believe that we probably are looking at closer to 500-plus. Businesses are in excess of 30. We have, on working with the city governments, the other counties, cities in Montgomery County, MUD districts, and public utilities, where we've met our threshold.
Okay. So you've had a pretty active outreach trying to get that input from people.
Yeah, we've tried to make some changes. We noticed a deficit from the May floods of last year, and so we've tried to increase that outreach and that contact with the public, and I think it's working.
Any indication at all when we may hear from FEMA or on a federal declaration?
It was it's been filed, and so it's just working through the process now. As most of you know and the public knows by now, that the president did declare the IA for the state. Directly affects four counties. Harris to our south was named in that, so we anticipate later this week that we'll receive the same nod.
Okay.
Right.
Darren and Judge, Commissioners, your office did a fantastic job during the floods. Y'all were in constant contact with us, making sure that the community had the resources and tools that we need to not only extract people from the flooded areas, but to have a shelter put in place. Just did a great job. Proud of you.
We appreciate that. And it goes countywide. There were several volunteers that stepped up and supported the operations, county employees that came in and worked tirelessly, and the first responders. The amount of calls that they handled, hundreds of calls within the first 24 hours. No doubt save lives. So it was a very well concerted effort. So a big thank you to everybody.
For all your folks and everybody that's out there helping, thank you. Darren, I guess we need to get together here pretty soon for kind of a debriefing, just figure out what we did right. And,
yes, sir.
We
do have another line of storms coming in, so we're going to kind of waddle through that, so to speak. And after we dry out, we'll do that, sir.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Thank you, Darren. Chief.
In 14A, we ask you to consider and approve overtime pay for Sheriff's Office personnel working security detail for special Montgomery County events. Personnel working beyond their normal work schedule will qualify for overtime pay. So that's time and a half, exclusive of the 80-hour rule.
What is an example of security detail?
Security details, critical incidents, let's say like Montgomery County Homecoming, where we have to add additional staffing because...
Is that something we would get funding from some of the event coordinators at times?
No, sir. For? We would fund it ourselves through our overtime line. It's kind of like what y'all gave us permission to do for the jail when we have so many inmates in the jail that we can't
bring on extra.
We don't have enough deputies,
yeah.
So we pay
yeah.
deputies to come in exclusive of the 8-hour rule, and we'll pay them time and a half. And
what is difference in this scenario than when a deputy has to work more than 80 hours a week now and they only get comp time?
Because they probably have not been here long enough to hit the 480 max is the only reason that they get.
So this would only apply to those officers that have maxed out their comp time?
No, sir. It would apply to all.
Would you give them paid
time? Just trying to figure out what the difference is, why it would justify overtime pay in this.
Motivate them to actually come do something for us?
Yeah.
To get them there to do the job? This makes it easier?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's what I...
We don't have enough officers on the street to move schedules around, and it's not like we have an overabundance of officers. We need to...
That's what I needed to hear.
It's a problem.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
We have a motion.
Second.
Second. Any other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Appreciate it, Chief.
Okay. In 14B, we ask you to consider and approve the following changes in the Organized Crime Drug Enforcement Task Forces between Montgomery County Sheriff's Office and the DEA. Benefits will be funded by the Sheriff's Budget 5601. You have two of them listed there, and basically we're shutting one down and starting another one.
I move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries.
Okay. And finally, this last item C, we ask you to consider and approve creating a pooled part-time bailiff position for grand jury security detail. Salary and benefits will be covered by excess position and salary funds within the jail's current salary structure through the end of the fiscal year. Funding for our next fiscal year will need to be addressed during budget. Supporting documentation details position providing the funding. This is our retired deputy test project.
They're working 3 days a week.
To see if this will... It's actually 2 days, Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Okay.
$25 an hour, and we'll take care of it for the rest of the year.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Chief.
Constable Precinct 5. Chief, how are you?
We're here to consider 15A, consider and approve the purchase for one newly equipped patrol vehicle to be assigned to a recently vacated position, which included a vehicle stipend, not to exceed $58,000 for the vehicle, funding to come from vehicle stipend for this year and future years.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you, Chief. Auto Theft Task Force.
Yes, sir. We're here to request that you accept and approve the 2017 grant submission for the Auto Burglary and Theft Prevention Authority.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
The second two items are interlocal agreement for the 2017 with Grimes County and Walker County for the ABTPA grant.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Fire Marshal, Mr. Williams.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners. Essentially the same action as we had with the Constable Precinct 5. We have an open position. We're looking for that to change that from a vehicle stipend not to exceed $58,000. Funding sources from that vehicle stipend now and in coming years.
Move.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Motion carries.
Judge and Court, as we move away from these vehicle stipends, is this something that you would like us to move to the consent agenda?
Yeah,
where we're funding
fine.
Them from the yes. vehicle stipend?
Yeah, yeah funding from
okay.
vehicle stipend and then budget for them in years in future years.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jimmy. Conroe North Houston Regional Airport, Mr. Smith.
Morning, Judge, Commissioners. Consider and, if appropriate, approve the membership of the Airport Master Plan Planning Advisory Committee. I do request an amendment to the list that I had distributed to you by adding an additional member for corporate aviation representation, and that would be Joshua Carlson from the Woodlands. He is a senior captain and safety officer for an energy, oil, and gas company. We'd like to add him. That would round out the membership at 15 individuals as submitted to you.
Okay. I move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thanks, Scott. Community Development. Mr. Shaw.
Good morning. Please consider approve and authorize Judge Doyle to execute the 2015 CDBG Public Service Grant Agreements between the County and the Montgomery County Homeless Coalition.
Move. Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. County Auditor.
Before you is a request to maintain the same funding levels for our self-insured programs. These include employee medical coverage, retiree medical coverage, workers' compensation, and property and casualty. This is for the budget purposes for the 2017 budget.
And those all stay the same, Phyllis?
So the recommendation said they stay the same.
I move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, Phyllis. Purchasing.
Morning, Judge and Commissioners.
Morning.
21A, as authorized by local government code 271.102, take all appropriate action to approve the purchase of two new 2016 Chevrolet trucks from the Caldwell Country Chevrolet through the interlocal agreement with Byboard in the amount of $66,240 for Precinct 2.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Item B, take all appropriate action to approve the award for new vehicles to Buccalo Chevrolet and purchase of two Chevrolet Tahoes for a total of $69,310 for the Sheriff's Office.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Take all appropriate action to approve granting a discretionary exemption for items that can only be obtained from one source, as authorized by local government code 262.024A7A, for the installation of dark fiber for the total fee of $54,000 with a monthly reoccurring charge of $250 from Wave Media for the IT department.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
D, take all appropriate action to approve the contract negotiation process with the highest evaluated respondent for an RFQ design build of a three-sided equipment storage building with Fairweather Group, LLC for Precinct 1.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Item E, take all appropriate action to approve granting a discretionary exemption for professional service as authorized by local government code 262.024A4 as stated on the agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Item F, take all appropriate action to approve change order number 1 for the professional services from IDS Engineering Group for the mobility improvement in the amount of $130,000 for Precinct 3, discretionary exemption previously approved in Commissioner's Court, November 10, 2015.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Charlie. All right. Why don't we take item 23A1 after we have
executive session? Judge, I was going to ask you to defer that, move that until after executive session.
Okay.
Under item 23B, consider and approve resolutions and orders to pay for the acquisition of parcels 38, 39, 40, 42, 46, and 48 for the Rafer Road Expansion Project. These are the first of the property acquisitions under the 2016 road bond, and we have those parcels that the owners have agreed, and the county has preliminarily agreed to purchase those properties.
Move.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
On item 23C for Precinct 4, consider and approve order accepting roads in Peach Creek Plantation Subdivision, Sections 1, 2, and 3, to the Montgomery County Road and Maintenance System. This is upon finding both a prescription as well as the plats, dedicated them to the public. This was an instance where the developer did not build the roads according to county standards, so we not only did we not accept the roads, so we actually instituted a lawsuit against both the developer and the bond company. We received a settlement of that, which was in excess of $1 million. We've received the funds from the bonding company in the amount of $904,000, which are going to be used towards the upgrade of these roads when we take them into the after we take them into the maintenance system. I don't know if Commissioner Clark has any other comments on that or not.
Just, you know, we went out and assessed the roads, and I think we've, you know, done a good job of protecting the taxpayer and got the $1 million in place, and we're going to fix what's necessary and take the roads in.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. Thank you, BD. Now I need to recess our Commissioner's Court and convene a public hearing for Precinct 4. Commissioner.
Oh, I'm up. Consider and approve partial replat of Lot 70, Block 4 of Peach Creek Plantation, Section 3, to be known as Dossie Estates. Anybody here to discuss that?
I have one lady. Yes, ma'am. Step forward, please.
I'm not proposing it, but I'm adjacent. I've got a letter to come tonight.
Yes, sir. Come on up.
Good morning. I know I'm just one person. When I purchased my 10 acres in Peach Creek, it was with the expectation that everybody was going to have 10 acres or whatever was left. And when I just got this Saturday, so I don't even know how this is going to impact my property, but I did bring, well, I didn't bring a copy for everybody because I've never done this before, but I did bring a copy of the boundaries, if I can present it.
Sure.
My property is Lot 69. I'm sorry, I'm Caroline Wolbrecht, and I have 10 acres. And so the property right next to me that you're proposing to divide into Dossie Estates, it sounds like I'm going to have a mini subdivision next to me, because it's going to be 6.4 acres divided into four plats next to my 10 acres. I currently live in a subdivision. I already have four neighbors, and when I purchased the 10 acres in that subdivision, I was under the impression that everybody had 10 acres, or if you're on the end, you had less, but I had no idea that you could subdivide into smaller plats. And so I just wonder how that's going to negatively impact my property should I decide not to build there now, because it sounds like the vision for that property is changing. And so I just wanted to come, and if there's any way that we could postpone till I could at least find out. I got the letter Saturday, and I took off work to be here because I work in Harris County in the medical center, and I don't even know how this will impact me because I just found out.
Beattie, could we ask you to come up and speak to this, please?
Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
There's a proposed replat. They have met the requirements of our replat, though we do have a public hearing for you to hear comments on this. As part of our process, we do not look into the restrictions because the replat does not affect restrictions. I do not know if there are restrictive covenants preventing a subdivision of those lots. I don't believe there are in that subdivision, but I can't state for sure. I'm not sure what other questions you may have. I think we got a letter from the Homeowners Association, though I don't have the file in front of me. So normally we do require a letter from the Homeowners Association. You do have the right, you would have the right to defer your decision on this if you would like, and not have to come back for another public hearing. The public hearing is a requirement under the statutes for replat, so this would suffice for the public hearing. You do not have to take action today. If you do not want to, we could then submit the plat again.
Are you requesting any action today, or?
Well,
or is this up for action?
Yeah,
is there anybody else?
This is the public hearing.
This?
I do not recall if the engineer have put it on for approval.
I tell you, BD, I haven't heard enough today to make a decision. I'm not going to allow this to move forward. Is there anybody else here that would like to speak to this? Okay, we'll reconvene, Judge.
Okay. All right, we'll now adjourn our public hearing and reconvene Commissioner's Court. Commissioner, Precinct 1.
Do we need to take action to
take
defer?
Action.
Or we will defer that.
You don't have to take any action at this point.
Defer this until we've had a chance to look it over. Get with me, and we'll.
Yeah. The next step would either to be approve the plat or not approve or the replat or not.
Okay.
So that does not require
action.
Another public hearing
at
this
moment.
It'll be a separate agenda item whether to approve the plat or not.
Okay. All right, Commissioner Metter.
Consider approved opening position 612403. I thought we weren't going to put these on.
Yeah, I thought they were going to go
I
on.
I thought they were going to go on consent if it didn't have any effect, or,
yeah.
You know, why are they winding up on the open agenda?
There were two district clerk in this one.
They probably just slipped through. We'll make sure they get
okay,
the consent.
Okay, consider
next
approve
time.
Opening position 612-403-0504, part-time clerk with hours of 312 per year, pay rate $16. Would not increase the budget. I move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Precinct 3.
Consider and approve the application for the advanced vehicle detection for signal synchronization LIMP grant in the amount of $170,320 with a match of $170,320 from Commissioner Precinct 3 budget. The funding from LIMP will have FY15 funds in the amount of $28,605.57 and fiscal year 16 funds in the amount of $141,714.43. I move.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. All right, now we need to recess our Commissioners' Court and convene a meeting of the Montgomery County Toll Road Authority. Approve granting a discretionary exemption for professional services authorized by Local Government Code 262.024 for engineering services for State Highway 249 from Zarenkelk Engineering Services Incorporated in the amount of $200,000 from the Montgomery County Toll Road Authority. And I move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Now we'll adjourn this meeting of our Toll Road Authority, reconvene our Commissioners' Court, Human Services. Dodie.
Good morning. Please consider and approve the payroll change request forms.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank
Motion
you.
Carries. We will now recess our Commissioners' Court for executive session under Article 551.072. Okay, we do have one item from executive session. Mr. Griffin, if you would take that one, please.
Yes, thank you, Judge. We're coming back out of executive session and taking up what? 23A1, consider and take appropriate action on offer to sell real property located at 402 West Phillips, Conroe, Texas. We have received an offer to sell the property from the owner of the property. This property is the improved property immediately behind this building. It has a two-story office building on it right now. It's lots 1 and 2, block 38, Ayers Edition. The proposed or the offer for that is for $659,000. It includes all improvements, all furniture, all fixtures, everything that you see in, on, or around the building. We did have it appraised at or about the time we received the initial offers on it. It is slightly higher than the appraisal, but it's less than 15% higher than the appraised value on it. Given the one of the factors you can consider, of course, is the situation in connection in relation to other county properties, and that we may be a buyer that has more of a unique need for this than your buyer under no compulsion to buy and a seller under no compulsion to sell as definition of fair market value. So that's what's presented to you. I have approved the form of the offer from the seller. So we do have a purchase and sell agreement that is capable of being signed today if y'all approve it and authorize execution. I believe you'll need to name an initial funding source.
I make a motion that we act on this offer to sell and purchase the property at 402 Phillips.
Funding source.
Second.
Funding source is
capital
improvement.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Motion carries. Thank you, BD.
Thanks, BD, for all your work.
Mr.
Appreciate it.
We need to go back to item 10C. Darren had some other issues that he wanted to discuss there.
Judge, Court, I apologize for this. Just to bring back up some more of a couple of other items under flooding. As you know, we activated the debris management plan. With that comes two contractors. One is Crowder Golf, which will handle our debris management, picking up the debris. The other is a consulting firm, which is going to provide the monitoring and oversee the actual debris. We have two notice to proceed that we've given to the clerk to pass through for the judge to sign those. It's just an official, it's kind of official stuff. Along with that, with Crowder is a requirement for a PNP bond.
With that, we need to establish an initial estimated cost for purchasing to push out the purchase order. We're going to set that at $1 million, unless the court has some questions or objections. Along with that, Crowder Tetra Tech has the same P&P requirements. We're going to do that one at $250,000. Theirs are based off the debris. It's a percentage based off debris collected.
Okay. Move.
Second.
All in favor?
This is who we used. Crowder's who we used last time, wasn't it?
That's correct, yes, sir.
Yeah, we have an alternate, too.
We have two other alternates, yes, sir, in case Crowder fails or couldn't meet it to begin with.
If they get overburdened down south somewhere.
Right, automatically rolls to the alternate.
Would that apply to those alternates as
well?
Yeah,
and that contract is up for renewal later this year, so we'll be examining that again.
And when can the affected home, when can we expect debris removal to begin?
It begins on May 2nd. Crowder will begin making pushes through neighborhoods affected on May 2nd for a first sweep. They'll deploy their trucks and crews to pick up. We're pushing out a media campaign now, asking residents to store it out on the right-of-way and how to sort it and store it.
Do you need any additional information from the precincts as far as where to go, or is the information we supplied you with the flooded homes?
I think right now we're doing good. We're also going to be doing some PDAs. We have a volunteer group that's going to help us do some PDAs and get out and do some windshield assessments to make sure that our numbers are correct and our locations are correct.
Thank you so much.
Darren, one quick question. What the judge was saying, if Crowder can't meet the need, we don't have to come back and approve the two alternates. We're approving the contract for all.
We would just, what we would do is on that P&P bond, if we have to come back for another P&P bond for another purchase order because of the default on Crowder, then we'd bring that back.
So it would take further court action to do that?
No, I don't want these folks waiting any longer than they have to. I mean, can we go ahead and take action to?
Right now, it appears we're not going to have any issue with the current contractor. They're on the ground now, ready to go. So I don't foresee any.
Would it be
problem.
Worth going ahead though and approving?
Yeah.
The alternate as an alternate source. Can we do that?
Do we need to do anything with that, Darla?
Just activate the alternate.
Activate a second one. Do you want to activate a second one and put them on standby, DRC?
That's all you do right now.
That's
Amy?
Okay.
Right now we have a contract in place. It's been activated. And if something comes along that changes, we could always do a notice to activate the new one. And I don't think there would be much of a delay.
I don't think it's going to require court approval. It's just a kind of a FYI for the court.
Not a major.
Come back to court even if we did need to do it.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
I think this is near as big as
don't need to hamper the process.
No, Crowder did a good job last time. They had plenty of
Yeah.
Yeah. Made a lot bigger than this.
Thank you, Darren.
Okay. I'm sorry. Do you want me to any source we need to name for in the interim until we reimbursements received?
Right. So we anticipate filing for reimbursement through a grant, but in the event that we don't receive that, we do need y'all to name a funding source because at this time we haven't received the grant.
How much is it?
Early estimates are $1 million to Crowder and two. Early estimates are $1 million to Crowder and $250,000 to Tetra Tech.
Phyllis, do we need to? I know contingency isn't there. Do we need to authorize you the ability to sweep to
some kind of a fund balance?
And certainly the county does possess fund balances for emergencies among other things, and you could name that. There's not a reason to think that we won't get a grant, but just in the event that we don't, I do need y'all to name a funding source in the interim.
So you're going to need to pay it probably before we get those grant funds.
Absolutely,
anyway,
before the reimbursement's received.
Right. Through contingency and funded by balances if necessary.
Okay.
Ultimately out of fund balance.
Fund balance.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
All right.
The other item I had on there, and I'm sorry for the delay, is that currently there. I'm sorry.
Oh, we have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Thank you. It's currently there's another grant out there that's available to assist with flood mitigation. We'd like to try and capitalize on that. We have a really short window. It closes May 15th. We'd like permission from the court to move forward with contracting consulting company through HGAC and put them on put them to work in collecting the data and organizing that to apply for the grant.
This is a grant we discussed.
This grant. What reimburses the administration costs, but of course, like all grants, the administration costs would be borne by the county up front, or should we not receive funding? We don't anticipate any cost of greater than $25,000, so we're asking the court to allow OEM to enter into an agreement with the consulting.
I move.
And we need a funding source on that as
second.
Well.
Fund balance, and I move. Or you can use contingency on that.
And with the court's permission, as Commissioner Nowak mentioned, we could certainly enact salary sweeps in our current budget to try to see if there's enough funds in contingency for this current year, and then use fund balance as a backup funding source.
Perfect.
Great.
Is that your motion?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. One other item I failed to mention a while ago, Dr. Ann Snyder was here from the Woodlands Township. We always try to recognize elected officials. She couldn't stay, but she wanted to come by, Commissioner, and thank you for your efforts on the Ironman. Commissioner Riley, I'm trying to work with Commissioner Cagle and getting that route put together. So thank you.
I appreciate that.
Thanks.
Appreciate all their work, too. Thank you.
We're now to the public comments section for individuals that would like to speak on items that were not on today's agenda. And just briefly, I'll read this comment. We will now invite the public for comments on item not on today's agenda. Please state your name and topic of your comment before making your remarks. And public comment may not exceed 3 minutes. Questions or concerns about the operations of Montgomery County programs may be referred to the department heads or elected officials. And the Texas Open Meetings Law prevents the court from deliberating, taking action on matters raised in public comments. And in light of the number of people that are here, if you could keep your comments as brief as possible, and if you're just repeating what someone before you has said, let's just keep those to a minimum if we could, please. We have a few people signed up to speak. First is Mr. Bill O'Sullivan.
Morning, gentlemen. I want to talk about the funding for our roads into the future. In 2000, we had 294,000 people. 2010, it was 456,000 people. 2015, we were up 537, up to 537. 2030, 14 years from now, we're supposed to be at 1 million people, which is almost doubling. And 2050, 20 years beyond that, is supposed to be 2 million people. We've started to plan for it. We have a 50-year thoroughfare plan. We have a mobility plan in South County. We're having a mobility plan done for Montgomery. We're having a mobility plan done for Willis-Conroe area. I think one needs to be done for Magnolia. Again, when you get into density and what's going to come up from on 249 to settle in Magnolia, that's going to be their own problems, their own Rayford Road. Could develop there, and we want to stay ahead of that. What we know in terms of expense for just for the South County portion of the plan, the price over 25 years was $1.6 billion. We laid down $88 million just recently, and there's going to be another $20 million roughly if we pass a bond in 2.5 years. But that doesn't even scratch the surface. You can't do all this by bonding. And you're going to have to find out what this is going to do. We have a plan that we've agreed to, if it gets implemented, that the Road and Bridge Fund was increased based on the $4 million increase for the year. And it was at a percentage of what the revenue is. But what we need to do as well is clear out anything out of the Road and Bridge Fund which doesn't belong in there. And I would say that you do that over a 4-year budgeting period, taking a piece out each year, so then your Road and Bridge Fund. But that's still not going to get there. It's just too much money. And I think you're going to have to take a look at creative ways for revenue. There are a couple of problems I think you can address. You want to pick up money from people who use our roads but don't pay taxes. And I think you also, and you have people that because of our proximity to Houston, and the values are going to go up around here. We're going to get that. But you're going to have people that may get, because of appraisal, get taxed out of their houses. And I think we want to try to prevent that. So my suggestion is tie together a gas tax to an appraisal cap. In other words, you find out, well, maybe it's a 5 cent. I don't know what it is. I'll ask the state. And you may have to pass bills and all the rest. And when you do it, you do it by referendum, so the people vote on it.
Your 3 minutes has expired, but we appreciate your comments.
Thank you,
Bill.
Thank you, sir.
Bill.
Okay. Next person signed up to speak is Mr. Richard Esselborn.
Fellow Commissioners and fellow citizens, it's gratifying as a veteran to be in a court of law where they recognize the Lord's Prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance. So God bless America and the great state of Texas. I'm here on a simple issue. It's the signage. Reflects back on the ordinance that prohibited signs on the right-of-way. As a realtor with Keller Williams and representing all the realtors actually in the Woodlands and state of Texas, we'd like to ask for an appeal that we put our signs out only on the open house days, which are Saturdays and Sundays, basically 12 to 4, and they're of the same uniform size and design. In fact, I would have some to show you, but they were all confiscated this last weekend, so I can't do that. But we are not impeding traffic or interfering with the public. The ordinance says signs are prohibited from being on the right-of-way. Maybe it's this definition of right-of-way, because if you drive along any of the main streets like Woodlands Parkway or Research Forest, you'll see permanent signs for, let's say, Shell, Walmart, Taco Bell, etc. But because they're permanent, they're approved in here. But I say on behalf of all the citizens that want to sell their house, and if there's anybody here who hadn't bought or sold a house, I'd be very surprised. And you need to have an open house to do that. By not having directional signs, it means that the time frame for possibly closing a sale in that house can be longer. Now, most people have to sell this house in order to buy another house somewhere else, like if you're moving to Corpus Christi. So it actually helps all the people, citizens of the great state of Texas, if we can just give an appeal to waiver. Let us have those. The directional signs are about this big, and they're placed discreetly back from the right-of-way, at least 10 feet back. And they're all uniform size, and so I'd like to ask the court's consideration to, I'll submit a written appeal on the next commissioner's court, if that's okay.
That'd be great. Thanks, Mr.
Yes, and I would also direct you to direct these comments to the Woodlands Township Board of Directors.
Yes, I have already been to Woodlands Township.
We don't pick up signs in the Woodlands on the weekends, so it's not the county.
Well, the I've been to the marshals, you know, the park rangers, and they're the ones who pick up the signs, and but then they destroy the signs because they're less than $25.
Yeah, but I'm just telling you, you need to take this message to the Township Board of Directors. It's not the county taking the signs on Saturday and Sunday.
You know, it's funny. I addressed this to the township, and the township said take it to the commissioner's court. So,
well, it would be me picking them up, and I'm not out there. So. Thank you.
Well, what's the next direction I can take? How can you help us?
I would encourage
we'll talk after court.
Once you get with Commissioner Nowak, that'd be great. Go after court. Perfect. All right. Thank you, Mr. Osborne. Next, we have Travis Perez. Mr. Perez, still with us? No. Next, we have John Elliott.
Thank you, gentlemen, for your time this morning. My name is John Elliott, and I'm here to speak on behalf of those that cannot speak for themselves, and that is the animals of the Montgomery County Animal Shelter. There have been so many issues involving the shelter, but because of time limitations, I've only got time to highlight what I think is the most encompassing issue. The community was pleased when Commissioner Clark hired Dr. White as the director of the animal shelter. Dr. White brought skills as a veterinarian, years of experience with Harris County Animal Shelter. However, most obviously, there was never a fundamental meeting of the minds between Commissioner Clark and Dr. White, as Dr. White resigned within 2 weeks. After that experience, Commissioner Clark must have learned a few things. Dr. Hayden was able to negotiate an agreement where he was to be paid not $125,000 a year as a full-time Dr. White, as full-time as Dr. White was, but to be paid $140,000 a year as a part-time director. In addition, Dr. Hayden was not bringing his veterinarian skills, but was only acting as an administrator. In fact, Dr. Hayden could not be full-time because of his two other businesses, his private veterinarian practice and the bar that he tends, where he tends to be on the weekends when the shelter is the busiest. Commissioner Clark, the people have lost confidence in your judgment. I think the best thing for you to do and for this county is for you to ask to be relieved of all responsibility with the Montgomery Animal Shelter. Judge Doyle, I believe you've got the right to step in on this, and I believe at this point in time, you've got the responsibility to step in and take corrective action with this issue. People have lost confidence in this Court of Commissioners, and I think that you need to do something to correct that situation.
Billy, thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
Thank you. That is the end of the individuals that I have signed up to speak. I assume that there's others that would like to address the court this morning, but if we could keep those comments fairly brief, we've got, I assume, quite a few.
Good morning. My name is Danielle Rashadi. I am here to speak on behalf of the animals at the animal shelter. First, I would just like to say that I am not a bored, lonely housewife, as some people have stated in the past as to why we are here fighting for this. I am an elementary school teacher in Montgomery County at an elementary school in Magnolia. As a teacher, one thing that I teach my students outside of the curriculum is honesty, empathy, and integrity. And as of the time that Dr. Hayden took over, I didn't have many issues until honesty was broken. On April 16th, as many of you know, there was a dog fight in the park when an off-duty police officer took it upon himself to strike a dog with a 2x4. Dr. Hayden has stated that there was no way for the people up front who were processing adoptions to know that that had taken place. I'm not sure how Dr. Hayden knew that since he wasn't there, but I was, and I witnessed it, and I was told from the mouth of an animal control officer that this man would not be allowed to adopt an animal and that they had told the front desk that this had gone on. So I don't like that dishonesty. And also the fact that we are being told now that Rock, the dog who had to be euthanized, was so badly beaten that he had to be carried in by an employee. That is what is being stated and is supposedly on video. But again, I was there to witness it, and that is absolutely not true. It also angers me that we are being told as volunteers that if we want something done, we need to continue to step up and be there. Many of us have full-time jobs, and that's not possible. That's what Dr. Hayden is paid for, that's what his staff is paid for, and that's what y'all are paid for, is to make sure that this is being taken care of. And that's what the money is being used for. Well, it's not, but it should be. Also, let me go back to my job as a teacher. Just to be here today, I had to take the day off. I had to let my team know. I've trained my kids all year what to do, how to behave when I'm not there. I also had to find someone qualified enough to do my job when I'm not there. So my question is, why is Dr. Hayden and everyone else not being held to those same standards? When I was there the day that the situation happened with Rock, there was no vet on duty. Why is someone not there who's able to take care of these animals if a situation arises? Again, last week, Dr. Hayden was not there, and when a dog was injured in a fight, that dog had to be transported to his private clinic.
Ms. Rochette, your 3 minutes has expired.
Okay.
We appreciate your comments today. Thank you.
Okay, can I just say
Your 3 minutes has expired. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Well, it's kind of disappointing that they've been given plenty of time outside of the time that they've agreed to.
Thank you.
That hasn't been done.
All right. Anyone else that would like to address the court?
Yes, I would.
Yes, ma'am.
My name is Tricia Thorson.
I have been in the healthcare and nursing services for 20 plus years now. It takes a team, and it also takes lots of volunteers. We could not run a hospital without our volunteers. Yes, it takes education. There's boundaries. In nursing, there's boundaries. In volunteers, there's boundaries. There's certain things that should and should not be done, and that's where the employees come into place. We are paid to do a job. When you're an employee, you get paid to do a job. When someone out of the kindness of their heart steps into there to volunteer for something, yes, they should be properly trained, and they should be welcomed with open arms. We have too many animals. Too many And it's very sad to me. And I lost my mom 31 days to the day today from negligence, from someone not doing their job. So if the people do their job and we all come together as a team, I think we could work the situation out. I received something. I know my time is coming up. It just says she's ticked. The Humane Society of the United States raised over $1 million, but gave almost none of that to pet shelters in Texas. My last 8 years have also been administrative, doing budgeting. I'm curious, who oversees that? Who sees that Texas, Montgomery County, gets their allotted amount of money? Is it annually? Is it quarterly? And who oversees that this money is being spent properly, where it needs to go, employees, what the animals need? For the last 10 years, I have brought medical supplies from the hospital that we no longer. They're brand new, packaged, sealed, but I have brought them boxes and boxes and boxes, and it makes me feel so great. Where is the money going? And do people, a salary of, did I get this right? $140,000 for a part-time? Oh, my God. The hours I can work in a week, that's money I could only dream of for my family. And there's a lot of veterinarians in Montgomery County. I don't know what it takes. But I think we all should do a part, and even the vets. There's spaying, there's neutering, there's so much money that can be allotted differently, I think.
Thank you for your comments. Thank you. Anyone else that would like to address the court this morning? Okay. With that, commissioners, I would entertain...
I move we adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Court is adjourned.
Mr. Elliott, you got a minute, please?
I'll be out shortly. I know he's going to be out the hall later. I can talk to him.